Would you please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Please stand with me in honor of the Word of God and listen along as I read Romans 8, 18 through 27. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also would be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Would you pray right now for yourself, that God would help you to understand the truth of verses 26 and 27. Just silently between you and the Lord, just pray and ask God to help you understand it and to help you apply it to your life. Would you please take a few moments to pray for the people around you? Perhaps the person in front of you or behind you, to your left or to your right, that God would help them understand this passage, and that God would use this passage to bless your brother or your sister today. Now would you pray for me that I would deliver the message that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We did 18 through 25 a couple of weeks ago. Today, if it's the Lord's will, we will simply do 26 and 27. 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. We could stop right there, couldn't we? The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Amen? That is such a beautiful truth, because Trinity Baptist, you know this, but I'm going to say it to you. It's true of you. It's true of me. We are weak. We are weak. But number one in your notes, this most beautiful truth of Scripture, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Lord Jesus Christ promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. Look at John 14 behind me on the screen. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. We are born spiritually dead, and there is nothing we can do about it. No amount of good works will bring you to God. You are born spiritually dead. You can give all you have to the poor. You can do all things, and you're still spiritually dead without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness initially by giving us spiritual life. We must be born again, and Jesus calls it being born of the Spirit. Not only that, the Holy Spirit, we studied this earlier, the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:15 is the witness that confirms that we are adopted by God. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Jesus said that in John 16, behind me on the screen. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. By the way, that's my job this morning too. I'm not going to do as good a job as the Spirit, certainly. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. We are weak, Trinity Baptists. You cannot understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. You may be here this morning and you say, I try to read the Bible, Pastor, but I just don't understand it. That doesn't mean you're not saved. Don't panic. But if you are unsaved, you need to come up here after church and be saved, or you will never understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. We are too weak to overcome temptation. We're too weak. The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome temptation. No law, no set of rules, no religious program, no government program, no matter how good the system or the program or the ethics or the list of do's and don'ts, no matter how good they are, they cannot make us better people. We need the Holy Spirit because we are born in slavery to sin, and only the Holy Spirit can set us free from that slavery. The Holy Spirit gives us a new heart. The Holy Spirit transforms us into loving, holy people. We cannot serve God without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. We cannot please God without the Holy Spirit. The first good thing we see in this beautiful Romans 8:26 today is that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. But the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is that you and I can't even pray without the Holy Spirit. But the good news is the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Look at verse 26 again. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. I've witnessed to people on the street, and maybe you have too, and I talk about their need for Christ, and they say, oh, you don't have to worry about me. I have a relationship with God. Do you ever go to church? No. You read the Bible? No. Oh, but I pray all the time. I pray at work. I pray in my car. I pray when I go to sleep. I just pray all the time, but I don't need your Jesus. You can't pray without the Holy Spirit. We do not know how to pray as we should. In this perishable, cursed, corrupt body, we are weak. Number two in your notes. In our human weakness, we do not know how to pray as we should. Do you have that, Enan? In our human weakness, there we go. In our human weakness, we do not know how to pray as we should. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't really know me. I'm a really good prayer. Is that right? You don't need the Holy Spirit to help you pray? You know, the Apostle Paul didn't know how to pray. Did you know that? Look at 2 Corinthians behind me on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says this, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me." You got some more there, brother? Enan? "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Isn't that a beautiful passage? Paul didn't know how to pray in this condition. Paul did not know how to pray in this circumstance. He prayed that God would take it away, but that was not God's will. No matter how mature of a Christian you are weak. And we, all of us, do not know how to pray as we should. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. This Greek word help is only used twice in the New Testament. You remember the story in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus was visiting his dear friends Mary and Martha, and Martha complained about this in verse 40. It's behind me on the screen. Luke 10:40. Martha was distracted by all her preparations. She came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this serving alone? Tell her to help me." It's the only other time this Greek word is used in the New Testament. Martha says, "Tell my sister to bear the burden with me." And just as she wanted her sister to help her with the burden of the preparations, so the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Look at verse 26. How does he do it? How does the Holy Spirit help us? Look at verse 26. Romans 8:26. "In the same way the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. I could stop right here and say the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. And that's the sermon right there. I want to help you understand this beautiful verse just a little bit deeper. Intercede is an incredible Greek word. It's an incredible Greek word. It's the Greek word hupar en tunchano. You've got that on the back of your notes. It's right there behind me on the screen. Hupar en tunchano. En tunchano means to meet with someone or to appeal to someone. It's the word intercede. Entunchaho by itself is the word to meet with someone or to appeal to someone. But when you put hooper in front of it, hooper means on behalf of. On behalf of. So the whole word together means to appeal to someone on behalf of someone else. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for you and for me. The Holy Spirit in your heart, the Holy Spirit appeals to God on your behalf because you don't know how to pray as you should. Amen? Incredible. Number three in your notes. The Holy Spirit appeals to God on our behalf. The Holy Spirit appeals to God on our behalf. Will you let me digress for just a few moments? The Holy Spirit is not the only one that appeals to God on our behalf. You're in Romans 8. Look ahead. Look just ahead. We're in 26 and 27. Come with me ahead to verse 31. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Oh, if you're a true believer here today, there is no condemnation for you. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ took all the penalty of your sin, past, present, and future. And Jesus Christ right now is at the right hand of God as your advocate, as your defense attorney, as your interceder. He is interceding to God for you. There is no condemnation for the true believer. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of this same thing. Hebrews 7 is behind me on the screen, and it says this: the former priests, the priests in the Old Testament, on the one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. The Old Testament priests would die. They couldn't keep going, so they had to keep being replaced. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Do you realize that? 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He ascended, and he took his seat at the right hand of God, and he is still there interceding for believers. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Look at the blessings of the true believer. For the believer, for the one who is born again, these blessings are so incredible. Don't let anyone ever say to you that they don't need Jesus to have a relationship with God. Don't let anyone ever say to you that they don't need the Holy Spirit in their heart to have a relationship with God. We depend on Christ and the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with God. For many reasons that we will talk about hopefully every Sunday here at Trinity. But number 4 in your notes is one very important one, and it is this: both the Son and the Spirit speak to God on our behalf. Both the Son and the Spirit speak to God on our behalf. Beloved friends, this is not something the Holy Spirit does just once. This is not something the Holy Spirit does twice. This is something the Holy Spirit continues to do throughout your Christian life because we are weak. The Holy Spirit is continually interceding for you. Here's a question for you. Have you ever heard someone give a half-hearted prayer? I have. I've done it. Don't ever tell anyone that. It's a secret just between you and me. Have you ever heard anyone give a half-hearted prayer? Oh, God. Maybe grace. Thank you for the food. Amen. What about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? You think he's in your heart going, oh, whatever. Here he goes again, he's sinning. Can you throw him a bone? Thanks. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Do you remember a time in the New Testament when Christ poured out his heart in prayer and groaned to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you more than you can possibly imagine, and the Holy Spirit is deeply concerned about your spiritual life. And he's in your heart, interceding for you continually with groanings too deep for words. Now the question is he praying the right thing? Is he praying the right thing? Because maybe you've heard people pray. Maybe you've been with someone and they've prayed for you and it was really intense. I know and I hope some of you have experienced this. You go up to someone and say, "I really need you to pray for me. I've got this need." And the person will put his hand on your shoulder and they will pray and they will pour out their heart and maybe they'll get emotional. And I'm not condemning that or I'm not criticizing that, but what if they pray the wrong thing? What if they pray the wrong thing? What if they don't pray according to the will of God? So the question is, does the Holy Spirit in your heart pray the right prayer requests? Look at verse 26 again. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He who searches the hearts. Who's that? That's quite obviously God the Father. God the Father searches the hearts. And verse 27 says, God the Father searches the hearts, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit exists in perfect unity. They have the same desires. They have the same will. They have the same wants. They have the same goals. They have the same mindset. They are in perfect unity. We're reminded of that in 1 Corinthians 2. It's behind me on the screen, and it says this, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The mindset, the desires, the concerns of the Holy Spirit are perfectly centered on God's will. When the Holy Spirit prays for you, he prays exactly what should be prayed. Number 5 in your notes. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. This is such an encouraging passage. This is such an encouraging passage. Because I'm weak. And you're weak too. And I want you to pray courageously. Hebrews chapter 4 says we go to the throne boldly. Why do we go boldly? Because we're such great people? We go boldly because Jesus Christ is there. I want you to go boldly to the throne of grace, Trinity Baptist. Maybe you feel like you don't know how to pray. You don't. Maybe you feel like you're not good at praying. You aren't. Neither am I. Maybe you feel like you don't know the right things to pray. You don't know the right things to pray. Neither do I. None of us do. But we have the Holy Spirit praying with us and for us exactly what should be prayed. Pray on, Trinity Baptist. Pray on. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we have only begun to grasp our need for Christ. We cannot have a relationship with you without Christ. We cannot understand the Bible without Christ. We cannot serve you without Christ. We cannot have the gifts that we need without Christ. We cannot overcome temptation without Christ, and we can't even pray. We can't even do the simplest thing unless we're born again. So I pray, Heavenly Father, for anyone here that is not born again, that they would come up and speak to one of the elders afterwards. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness. He's the Spirit of adoption. And by the Holy Spirit, we cry out to you, Abba, Father. And we rejoice, Heavenly Father. We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit to pray for us. He already does. So I pray that my brothers and sisters would pray every day, would take time to pray, knowing that the Holy Spirit in their heart is interceding for them with groanings too deep for words. In Jesus' name, amen.